Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series. Expect results from prayer. You are studying Lesson 4. Know your rights in prayer. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. We've talked about the fact that we have Bible, God-given, Jesus-bought, blood-washed rights to pray and expect results. We don't pray just because we're religious. We don't pray to impress God. We don't pray to impress other people. Now listen to this. Boy, I tell you, this is another bunch of foolishness that's come out of the mind of man that has really fouled up a lot of people's prayer life, and most Christian people don't believe God going to hear them when they pray. They don't even expect results when they do pray. They pray because they think they ought to. They pray because other people are listening. You know, if that wasn't the truth, now come on, get real, man. If that wasn't the truth, can you imagine anybody from Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, standing up to God and say, "Wherefore dost thou?" Dear God, he says, that's out of the mind of man. There's been whole religions based on Elizabethan English, and Elizabeth didn't even talk that way. Oh, my goodness. Now, listen to me carefully and think with me. Just think a little bit according to the Word of God instead of according to the stupidity that man's come up with trying to impress God. Oh, yes. Oh, God. We're so undeserving and we're so unworthy. Hey, man, cut your con out. Everybody knows that man's fallen short of the glory of God. But it doesn't give God any glory or praise to come before Him and remind Him that man is a dirty dog spiritually because Jesus paid the price for that ungodliness. Man, I mean, you hadn't done anything but insult God to stand up there and tell Him that you're still so unworthy and you're still so no good. Oh, and dost thou look down upon us and all that kind of junk. I mean, Brother Copeland, you making fun of us? Yes. The whole world's making fun of you and me for this kind of trash because we hadn't been getting any results when we pray. We pray to try to con God into something. Well, I didn't think he's going to do anything anyway. Or we're praying to impress somebody else. Why don't you just talk to God? Just talk straight out to Him. Say, "Father, I have some things that I need to discuss with you. There's some things in my life that I would like to change, that need changing. You know it and I know it. Now here's what I have found, Lord, in Your Word." And go to the Word of God, and there again, don't do it to impress God. He wrote the book, man. I mean, you ain't telling Him anything. Go to Him based on what He has said. And go before Him like that and thank Him for saying that about you because you're His child. After all, you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. So we're not trying to impress God. We're not trying to impress other people. Oh, with that long drawn out thing. Jesus said, "You're not going to be heard for your much repetition." Now, what we are doing when we pray, we are in communication with God. Now, take your pen and write down the word communication. And notice that the first approximately two-thirds of that word spells communion. Communion is to commune, is to communicate. It's the same word. We take communion in the blood and in the bread, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're communicating with God. And that is one field of prayer that we're going to take some time to study out on this broadcast. We have weapons that guarantee results when we pray. And when we closed yesterday, we were talking about the name of Jesus. Jesus Himself said, up to now, you've asked nothing in My name. This is in the Gospel of John, 16th verse, and just a short few hours before He went to Calvary. He said, up to now, you've asked nothing in My name. But from now on, you will pray the Father in My name. And He said, in that day. Now, what day was He talking about? The day that the Holy Spirit would come into His ministry, which He did on the day of Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit is here to carry out the prayer. But you know what we've prayed? We've prayed for Jesus' sake. Oh, God. I remember a fellow one time in the prayer line. He had come, and the guy was in pain. You can tell that. And so he started praying, oh, God, heal my stomach for Jesus' sake. Heal my stomach for Jesus' sake. Now, if you think that through, which he didn't do, he just praying it out of habit. But if you think that through, oh, God, heal my stomach because of Jesus. Well, that there's grounds for that. But the way it comes out and when you make a religion or tradition out of it is, heal my stomach for Jesus' sake. No, He needs to heal your stomach for your sake. You understand? You see what I'm talking about there? Jesus said, pray in the name of Jesus, not for Jesus' sake. We've had every kind of a name you can think of. We use the word Christ, and that's not Jesus' name. That word Christ is the Greek word for anointed. In Hebrew, it's Messiah. It's all the same word. It is the one anointed, and it is that anointing that breaks the yoke. Jesus is anointed, but it is the power of His name in which we pray. At that name, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said then, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Now, you put that together with Mark 11:24 that says, therefore, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Boy, I've done this many times. My. Get right down on my knees just praying over disastrous situations. And open my Bible to John 16:23. And I'd say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And right here it says, whatsoever I ask you in Jesus' name, you will give it me. I turn over to Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, in the name of Jesus, that you, believing, I shall receive. And because of the name of Jesus, I believe that I receive. And here in Mark 11:24, therefore, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Because I have asked in the name of Jesus, I believe that I shall receive it. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So as far as I'm concerned, it is established. So be it. That's where amen comes from. Amen means it is settled. That is the end of that. It is an amen, amen, amen. So be it. And because of those scriptures, you see what I'm doing? I'm laying foundation for my faith. The devil comes along and says, you ain't going to get that. I say, why I'm not going to get it? Because you ain't no good. Because you done it. Blah, 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 blah. I said, hey, let me ask you again, Mr. Devil. What did Jesus die for? Hubba, 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 hubba. Yeah, you just hubba, hubba yourself right on out of here. Because I ask in Jesus' name. I believe because of that name. And here it is written that whatsoever I desire when I pray, believe. And I believe because of the name. In the name of Jesus. In the power of the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:26. We have the weapon of the name of Jesus. We have a weapon of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. We know not how to pray as we ought. He takes hold together with us against our infirmities. Praise God. And praise the perfect will of God for the saints. Hallelujah. So we've got the name of Jesus. We've got the Word of God. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Plus the fact we have the right to believe that we've talked about now almost two full weeks. We have rights in Jesus' name. Now, if I come to the Lord and I say, "Oh, Father, this is Kenneth, and I'm asking you in my name." Are you kidding me? On that, man, I mean, that ain't no work. In that name, I'm nobody. Oh, but in the name of Jesus, I'm somebody. In the name of Jesus, I can go right to the throne of grace. I was praying one day, I'm walking up and down the floor. Oh, dear God, my whole bedroom wasn't much bigger than this little square right here. And I'm walking, oh, I'm bombarding the gates of heaven. Oh, God, we have to have revival in this town. I mean, last night we didn't have four people in the meeting, man. And I mean, you know, if I ran a full page ad in every paper in the county, wouldn't nobody know who it was. It just got me deeper in the hole. So, man, I'm bombarding the gates. Now, what scripture am I bombarding the gates on? I don't know. It's just something I heard other folks do. They bombarded, so I'm bombarding, you know. Oh, yes! And then I'm walking up and down the floor. I'm not exaggerating. Well, maybe this much. But I want to distract your thinking, but it's just about this bad, I got to tell you. Oh, Father, I'm bombarding the gates of heaven. Oh, we have to have revival. Oh, God, give us revival in this town. Yes, amen. And I'm just, you know, I'm wallering in this. Right in the middle of this, boy, I mean, the Lord had brought me to a standstill. And right in here, you wouldn't heard it if you'd have been standing there. But boy, it sounded to me like it's bigger than I was, you know. The Lord said, "What are you doing?" I thought, don't he know? Dear me. I'm bombarding the gates. He said, "What for?" I said, "Revival." He said, "Kenneth, I want revival there worse than you do. Why do you think I sent you down there?" He said, "Why don't you thank me for revival?" He said, "That's why you're there." Oh. You know, it was like I had to get his attention. Don't you understand that this whole town's going to hell? I mean, he knew it. That's the reason he sent me there. And then, he said, "What else are you doing?" I said, "I'm bombarding the gates." Oh, dear Lord. He said, do you know what Hebrews 4:16 says? Boy, I grabbed my Bible and I flipped it open to Hebrews 4:16. Oh, yes, come boldly to the throne of grace. Uh-oh. It says, come boldly to the throne, and I'm out there at the gate. And I thought, oh me, I'm caught. But thank God for it, because I opened myself up. You see, he won't just come butt in on you like that. But I opened myself up to be corrected, to chastise myself before the Lord, or in other words, to be corrected and changed and instructed. I don't care what it makes me feel funny, bad, silly, embarrassed. What difference does that make? I mean, that's my Father I'm talking to. He loves me. He's not against me. My struggle, your struggle, is not with God. He's already bought and paid for this whole thing, man. The struggle is with our own lack of spiritual sensitivities, our own spiritual dents of mind, our own lack of knowledge of His Word. His people perish for a lack of knowledge. I said, ain't no use lying to you. I mean, you know everything. I'm bombarding the gates. He said, "Do you know how big this city is?" I said, "Well, yeah, you know, I mean, the Bible talks about it being measured in cubits." I said, "If you measure it, the longest a cubit was ever measured, it'd be 1,700 miles square and 1,700 miles high. If you measured it by the shortest measure, it'd be 1,200. I said, I just always kind of rounded it off at 1,500 miles square. He said, "That's close enough for what we're talking about." He said, "Assuming that my throne of grace is in the middle, and you're out there bombarding the gates. Sonny boy, you 750 miles short. Oh, I mean, you know what? I got spiritual egg all over my face. My unbelief is just hanging out there for everybody to see. You understand? That's the reason I was asking amiss. I'm just doing what everybody else did. Like one man said, Grandma taught it and we bought it. Well, now, I'm not talking against you, Grandma, but this generation ought to know more than our grandparents did. Our grandchildren ought to know more than we did, and they will if we'll follow the Word instead of just copying what somebody did and never go to the Bible to find out about it. And so I said, well, forgive me. I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. He said, besides that, Kenneth, the gate you're out there bombarding is not locked. He says, wide open with a personal invitation to come boldly. Not cowardly, not trying to sneak in up behind the throne. Oh, God, I'm so this and that and the other. But boldly, he said, just put a smile on your face and come on in here like you belong here. And so, whew, boy, I tell you, it just changed my whole life. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And then I got caught up in it. Oh, Lord, to think that by the name of Jesus, I'm at home in the very throne room of God. I found out later on in the book of Hebrews that the Bible says our hope comes up in that holy place where Jesus was the forerunner before us. I mean, in the holiest of all sanctuaries, your hope and the very sweetness of you in the eyes and in the very nostrils of your Father comes up before Him, and you have every right to be in that throne room. And I just started praising Him. I said, Lord, oh, what a foolish thing I've been. How foolish it has been for me to, you know, just hoot and holler and carry on around here. Forgive me. I thank you for revival in this town. I thank you for a move of the Holy Spirit in this church. I'm not going to cry and squall about it anymore. I'm just going to praise you and thank you and expect to be led to the Spirit of the living God. I want to praise you. I roll all of my care of revival over on you. And I am going to enjoy myself in this church. I'm going to pray for the sick. I expect every sinner to get healed. I expect the building to be full. And I just praise you and thank you that the finances will be overflowing where the church will have money and where Gloria and I'll have our needs met. And I just praise you and thank you. See what a freedom it gave me when I got over on God's Word? And I walked out of there. Man, I mean, it ain't my problem no more. I mean, I rolled a care of it over on God. I've got the name of Jesus. I have His Word for it. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the joy of the Lord working around in me, see. I got over there the next night. There wasn't nobody there hardly. I mean, you put them all right there on the front row. And the whole church building, you know, it was little, you understand? And I walked in there, and there was a guy came up to me that night. And he said, Brother, I sure hate to see you come to this little old town. I said, why? He said, the good uns has been here and couldn't have revival. I know you can't. And I thought, well, you know, I didn't say this, but I thought, you know, it just gives me that warm feeling all over. And I said, what are you talking about? Man, I had this big grin on my face. Because the minute he said revival, I remembered last night in prayer. I remembered rolling all my care over on God. I remember praising God. And as far as I was concerned, we was having revival. What he's telling me is God can't have revival. Are you kidding me? God can have revival. Ask the Berlin Wall if he can't have revival when he gets ready. Dear God in heaven. So I said, are you kidding? What are you talking about? Man, we having a landslide. He looked at me like, what kind of rock did I get out from under? And then he said later to somebody else, he said, you know that poor boy. Said he ain't never been to the seminary, don't know the difference between a landslide and a flop. Well, I just went on praising God, man. I'm telling you, for all six of them that was there that night or however many it was. and just kept praising God. You know, by the end of the week, that little old building was crammed, jammed full of people. I don't know where they all come from. There was one Baptist fellow that got in there and got that listening to the Word of God. He went out and gathered up all the Baptist folks he could find. I mean, there's people all over that thing. There were people standing outside, had the windows open. People standing out there listening through the windows, man. Now, I'm not talking about thousands and thousands of people. It didn't take many to fill the thing up. But, man, it took more than four. And we had, the place was full. We had, man, we, instead of 3 or 4 days, we went 21 days, two services a day. God healed and moved and people got saved. And I didn't preach any different the 21st night that I did that second and third night when there wasn't anybody there. Why? Because, man, my problem was over. I'd prayed. I'd believed God. And from that point on, I'm just thanking God and worshiping God and having a time of my life. Praise the Lord. Can you see through not what I'm trying to get you to see, but what the Spirit of God wants you to know, what God wants you to have. In the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews, His Word is so plain on His desire for our prayer life and what He desires for us to walk in and to stop struggling and pushing and driving, trying to get all different kinds of things to happen. He said, let's labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Praise God. Enter into His rest. We pray in rest and we pray in Him. I don't care if disaster is on every hand. We can enter into rest with God by entering into His Word and relying on His power, His name, His Word, and praise, and prayer, and the things of God, instead of the things of our weakness. Majoring in His strength, instead of majoring in what we can't do. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you got something out of this today. I did, I'll guarantee you, and I'm going to share some of it with you tomorrow. Let's pray here, and let's believe God together. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. Therefore, we know that we're heard. We pray according to Your Word. We pray according to the power of the Spirit of God for all the people in this television audience. Father, I pray that every person in the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus as Lord, to receive You as Lord right now. That every person that doesn't know You in the strength of Your being the healer and the financier and the caretaker of our lives, we receive You now in the areas of our weakness. We receive Your strengths. And so we say, according to Your Word that said, let the weak say, I am strong. I say, I am strong. You say it. I am strong. And just say, Jesus, I repent of sin. Please come into my heart. I receive You now.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.